Well, good morning, church. Welcome to our home. An important question for you today. Who is your favorite Marvel superhero? Why am I asking that? It will all come to light. I think, you know, maybe for my dad who loves bow hunting, it might be Hawkeye. When I ask my five-year-old, it's somewhere between the Hulk and Spider-Man, Captain America. And then this guy with the long blonde hair came up. Thor, and I gotta tell you, Thor is my favorite. He, he's Australian. He lives in Byron Bay. He surfs. Wait, that's Chris Hemsworth. Anyway, we met his character, this iteration of the long-standing character Thor in 2011 in the movie by that name. And I'll try not to give any spoiler alerts today, but pretty much what happens when we meet Thor right at the start, he goes and wages a war that he has no permission to wage. And upon his return, he meets his father, the king. And so Thor is the god of thunder and his father, his name is Odin. And this incredibly dramatic scene happens at that point. These are the words of Odin, his father, played by Anthony Hopkins. He says this, "You have betrayed the express command of your king. Through your arrogance and stupidity," strong language, "you have opened these peaceful realms and innocent lives to the horror and desolation of war. You are unworthy of your title, unworthy of the loved ones you have betrayed." And he takes and strips his power away, he takes his hammer and he casts him out. He banishes him into exile to earth, as it were. Now, I don't want to share any more of this, probably already slight spoiler alerts, but Thor is the hero of this story. He is imperfect, he is fallen, but he is about regaining his place through his own transformation, through his strength, through kind of finding his character and becoming worthy of the hammer again. Maybe if you know the name of that hammer, you could comment down below. And so we might be thinking, hey, in this story, like, I'm Thor, right? I accomplished my own salvation from exile through personal growth. What exile am I in? What are you talking about? That's the invitation the world gives. Fix yourself, find your place, figure out your future. If we're following Jesus Christ, is that our story? No. Jesus is the hero of our story. He invites us to find our hope, our life, our salvation, our future, and our purpose in Him. Just like Thor, though, we are exiles. Maybe this is a new thought for you. Through the actions of Adam in the Garden of Eden and that of Eve and our own, even in this place we call home, wherever you might be in Australia, you might be further abroad somewhere across an ocean. We have this feeling, this longing for something more or something better. And so many people search in so many different ways, but the invitation is to find that in Jesus Christ. In Him, we're promised something better to come, but we remain in exile until that day comes. We're jumping today into a new series from the book of Daniel called Digital Exile. So this is week one. And the question is, what can the book of Daniel teach us about resilient faith in the digital age? Today, my title is The Way of the Exile. The Way of the Exile. Let's look at some brief historical context. God gave the ancient Israelites the promised land. They'd already been through a lot of things, walking with Him, sometimes forgetting that God was their God and is their God, and He calls them back to Him. So they're in the promised land, but they're unfaithful to the terms of their covenant agreement with God. The law written on stone tablets for us now has become life written on our hearts in the blood of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. So in 587 BC before Christ, the Babylonians come and they sack Jerusalem. And so here we find ourselves in Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read a chunk through to verse 7, and then we're going to have a chat today. So it says this in Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were entered to the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. You might remember these names, and we're going to hear an incredible story about a few of these guys in Daniel 3. So I hope you'll join us. They're taken out of their home in Jerusalem, taken into Babylon, and all of a sudden, they are the minority, surrounded by a new culture with new gods. Sound familiar for followers of Jesus? They're in exile, surrounded by new gods, values, culture that shifts so quickly, sometimes we're left reeling in response. Is that how you feel today as you look around at this world? We're going to explore that in this series. And so today, the way of the exile, I want to explore the theme of exile, exiles. What can we learn? It's maybe strange to us when we really realize where we are. If, hey, you're here watching in Warrnambool in Victoria, Australia, let me just give you a little bit of context for us. We live about 3 hours from Melbourne, which is the world's most livable city. We live about 20, 25 minutes from Port Ferry, which is the world's most livable small town. And we live in Warrnambool, which as of September last year, is Australia's most livable city. So we're doing okay. But the reality still sits that even as we look and we appreciate where we are, we still look at the world around us, right around us, maybe in our very street, and we realize that not everything is fine, not everything is okay, not everything is the way that God initially planned it to be. We should maybe be surprised about that, but the Bible has so much to say at the same time. Philippians 3:20 tells us that our citizenship is not here, but in heaven. Through Jesus, that is what has happened to us. We're in a multi-layered existence. We are exiles in this world, the physical world. But we also live, and maybe more right now than ever in our lives, we also live as exiles in a digital world. COVID-19 has put some restrictions on the way that we can move and interact with people. And so online has become even more so a place. I don't know, maybe you've used Zoom and you've joined us for meetings, or your workplace is doing that. And we've had Zoom prayer meetings, which has been phenomenal. But Zoom was just catapulted into focus and use as people leverage that as a way to stay connected. This digital world is loud and fast and crazy. And there's so much content on there, and there's so much vying for our attention. So many conflicting worldviews and values and opinions, so many things. And so we're on social media and we interact in different ways that sometimes have a lot of breadth. but very little depth. And we're navigating online, making up sometimes a fake persona, the way that we want people to see us, a filtered life rather than a real life. And yet through all of this, we have this feeling that there's something more, no matter where we live. You know, the promise of heaven gives hope to the human conditions. What were the Israelites asking in Babylon? Well, it's the same questions that we ask now. How did we end up here? Is there any hope of going home? The Bible, Daniel, in fact, has answers to many of these questions. Maybe you've heard the saying, you don't go to church, you are the church. Well, this takes on a whole new meaning when no one can go to church anymore. But the reality is that those are physical places of worship, that they are closed, but the church is not closed. The church is alive, vibrant, connected by God's Holy Spirit and His kingdom that we become a part of, that you're invited into. But we make an acknowledgement of our exile status, our status as exiles, and it is helpful in more ways than one. I'm going to keep moving, but here I want to start. We're in Daniel. Who is Daniel? Daniel is a prince from the royal line of David. The Bible says a lot about Daniel. In Ezekiel 28:3, it says he is a man of wisdom. He is a man of piety. Daniel is a righteous man. Of all the people in the Bible, I mean, Daniel is a prince of the line of David. We know David committed adultery. He pretty much had someone murdered. But with Daniel, there is no dirt on him at all. He is prayerful. He is faithful. And Jesus makes himself a specific reference back to Daniel, the prophet, in Matthew 24:15. He asks us to understand this idea. This is Daniel. This is Daniel taken out of Jerusalem into exile in Babylon, and he is the writer of Daniel. I want to continue here in Daniel 1. Let's go to verse 8. We're going to read through to verse 17. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. We're going to talk about this, but what sprung to mind for me, especially for us living in a digital age, what can we learn from the wisdom that Daniel exhibits, is around content absorption. Maybe you've heard of the Daniel diet, and Daniel kind of says, like, I'd like different than what you're offering. I want to make wiser choices about what I'm consuming. I think we're invited to make the same choices when it comes to our digital diet, how we navigate this. You know what? I think the idea is that right now, we absorb more information in the first 15 minutes of our day than people who came before us did in the whole day. And we wonder why our minds are overcome. What are you consuming? Can I encourage you as you read this, just stop and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, You are transforming me by the renewing of my mind. So give me wisdom about what I look at, what I absorb. What does God want to teach you in this time? Because digital is not going away. We need to understand how to navigate this well. Filter, test, and realize that your screen and your online habits are growing, transforming. We would use the word discipling you. You become a follower of what you look at, of what you follow as it comes to social media. Who are you following? What are you following? Let me say this. The enemies, we have an enemy in the devil. The enemy's colonization strategy. He wants to take over this world. He wants to take over our minds, our hearts, our lives. The enemy's colonization strategy is to fill your mind with anything but the truth of Scripture and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't forget, we're invited to stay connected into the vine that is Jesus Christ, grafted into Him, not apart, not alone, not trying to make all our own decisions, but staying with Him, not relying on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own enlightenment. And so I want to encourage you, if you're walking through life without time in word and prayer, you are walking through life unarmed. Let's continue to look at the makeup of the book of Daniel. Chapters 1 through 6 are this historical narrative. So like, what happened? And we're going to go through it kind of chapter by chapter and check it out. But then chapters 7 through 12 change and it becomes apocalyptic literature. What? I wonder if you realize that to apocalypse something isn't like the apocalypse is coming, like the end of is coming. It actually means to reveal something. So apocalypse. So when Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and God gives Daniel the ability to understand the dream, to even know the dream that happened, God is apocalypsing this dream to Daniel. And so we reframe this word and it reveals what will happen. And so these chapters 7 through 12, we're going to look at them. And yeah, it gets kind of crazy. And we need a great deal of wisdom to navigate this. And so I and others will be teaching us through this. But it's symbolic. It's visionary. It's prophetic literature. And often it's written when times and conditions are oppressive. And quite often, it's namely and mainly concerned with eschatology, which is end times. What is coming? What's the end look like? But I want to tell you, for God's people then, for God's people now, apocalyptic revelation literature is primarily there for the encouragement of God's people. We're going to come back to that idea, primarily there for the encouragement of God's people. So what's the main theme then of the book of Daniel? It is encouragement of the coming kingdom of God in the hands of Jesus Christ. It will see to it that God's will is done on earth. Whenever we're kind of like, Lord, what is happening? We can rely on the fact that He is sovereign. He has a plan. He's actually revealed Himself to us in Jesus Christ. Through Him, His plan comes to life and comes to light. And through apocalyptic literature and revelatory and revelation, we understand in some way what's coming. It will see to it that God's will is done on earth, and God's Son, Jesus Christ, will be King of that kingdom. The theological theme of the book is summarized in chapters 4 and 5. The Most High God is sovereign over the kingdom of men. Daniel's visions always show God as triumphant. In chapters 7, 8, 9, we see this. And then the book of Revelation describes the climax of His sovereign rule in chapter 11, verse 5. It says this, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, His Son, Jesus Christ. And so there's hope for the exile. There's hope for the exile, Daniel in Babylon. There's hope for the exile, us now. Jesus will return to transform this world into a true home. Better than the world's most livable city, better than the world's most livable small town, better than Australia's most livable city where things are still wrong, Jesus will right every wrong. I'm going to tell you today that you can trust God's plan. God knows and sees all. Nothing is a surprise to him. We don't understand, even with this revelation in Scripture, we don't understand all that's happening or that will happen, but we can trust that God is sovereign over all. Romans 8:28 says, "Then all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." And we've been given purpose. So God's plan and purpose for us. What was Daniel doing in Babylon? Whose wisdom was he following? He was following God's wisdom revealed through the prophet Jeremiah. And so as we wrap up week one, I want to share this with you. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. It says, really, what do you do in exile? Maybe you kind of think straight up, all right, there's two options here. We either violently revolt against our oppressors, against those who have taken us into exile, or we just adopt and become exactly like them. And in Daniel's time, this is what happened. There were some Israelites who revolted violently, and there were others who just became Babylonians for all intents and purposes. But Jeremiah says, there's a way, another way, a third way that is not compromise or revolt. And so he says this in Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. If it prospers, you too will prosper. And so we're going to look at Daniel's journey in Babylon. You know, I think it's profound that Daniel was administering there in his role in government for like the length of three or four kings whilst in Babylon. And we look at Daniel's approach. There are times to stand up and show his loyalty to God and God alone, and he does. And as to others, well, maybe you already know the story of the fiery furnace, but they're tested as well. We'll see what happens. The Bible Project, and I invite you to check out their overview of Daniel or a video called The Way of the Exile, or one just called Exiles. It says this, the way of the exile is a combination of loyalty and also subversion. How do we know the way to walk? By knowing Scripture. God's word helps us to know when to say no. But we can't walk this combination, we can't walk this line without the help of the Holy Spirit. And as we end today, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for you. We're going to continue our journey through Daniel. We're going to talk about Jerusalem versus Babylon. We're going to talk about five resilient practices in exile. We're going to talk about fiery furnaces, about lions, about dreams, about apocalyptic literature, and about revelation. But I want to give you some practical application today. We need to grasp the reality of the battle we're in. Daniel was not home. He was in exile. We are not home. We are living as exiles with absolute hope in what Jesus has done and what is to come. But we exist as an exile in this world, and we live in a tension of waiting. So what do? We focus first on Jesus, who Daniel prophesied about, and what he talked about and what he wrote points to Jesus to come. This Jesus, who too is an Israelite from the royal line of David, who is fully man, who is fully God. We first focus on him, and we remember, even when we don't understand, God's sovereignty and his plan. is sovereign means over everything. Nothing will change it. Nothing will bring it undone. With the Holy Spirit growing and guiding us, we're called to seek the peace and prosperity of this place to which God has taken, called, and placed us. And not just in the physical world, but in the digital world. Hey, we can be a light in quite often what is a really dark place. There are dark places in the physical world. There are dark places in the digital world. Take that light. But ask God to give you wisdom in doing that and how to do that with gentleness and respect, following what God is leading us to do and knowing His word, which means we know when to draw a line, we know when to say no. We're being called to look to the shalom of all people. You know, Jesus ministered to the ostracized. Jesus ministered, and you'll see in these incredible videos from the Bible Project, don't walk past the person in need. Don't walk past the person who has been shunned and pushed out. That's who Jesus went and ministered to. That's the invitation. Seek the peace and prosperity of the place in which you've been called, taken. God's going to use it, and we're going to see that in this book. It's profound. God's love is shown when you invite in the outcast. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you above all that you are sovereign. And we pray, Lord, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? Lord, we acknowledge that we are exiles in this place, but we thank you that through Jesus, you have given us a citizenship in heaven. And so while everything is not fine here, while we look around and we see injustice, and we see horrible things happening to people, horrible things that people do to one another, Lord, lead us by your Spirit to seek the peace and prosperity of all people in the place that you have placed us. In our families, in our workplace, in our church, Lord, in our school. Lord, thank you that we do not do this walk alone. Help us to fix our eyes and our focus on your Son, Jesus Christ, the author and fulfiller, completer of our faith, Lord. And Lord, lead us in wisdom. Lord, give us strength. As the saying goes, Lord, give us soft hearts to see a need and respond, and hard feet to walk where it's not easy. And it's certainly not easy to live and walk in a culture that has other gods and other values and things that contradict these things that we seek to follow. Lord, as we navigate through Daniel right now, would you strengthen and give resilience to our faith in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. So good to have shared this morning with you. God bless. Have a great week. See you next week for Digital Exiles Part 2.